Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignments of construction, contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call. Make some money, man. 303-289-1600. Go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about making cash, man. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
ESPN's Aaron Schatz wrote an interesting article titled Final Moves for All 32 Teams Before the Start of Training Camp. This is what he wrote about Baron Browning and Jonathan Cooper. The Broncos have had several young players from the 2021 draft who need to be extended, including guard Quinn Meinerz. But getting their pass rush set for the future is far more important. Both Cooper and Browning have contracts that end after this season. Cooper led the Broncos with 8.5 sacks, 43 pressures last season. Browning's mid-year return coincided with a turnaround that took Denver's defense from a historically poor defense to reasonable. Ended up with 21 pressures, 4.5 sacks, only 4 missed tackles in 10 games. Are Cooper and Browning the priority over Meinerz?
Yeah, Meinerz and Surtain.
Bowles?
Yeah, Bowles is interesting. Conversation maybe for another day, but I will. Those aren't the guys that I would have identified.
No. If those are the guys that the Broncos are identifying, then why did they pick Jonah Ellis?
Yeah. That room is intriguing, and if you believe that Cooper and Browning are pieces moving forward, and I think that they probably are, you do need to do, you've got fifth-year options. You've got things coming up that you can utilize.
They have the room to sign a lot of guys.
They do, and maybe a longer-term deal, but the big two are Meinerz and Surtain. Are we all in agreement with that, with those two?
No. Surtain, yes.
Okay.
Meinerz, you can make the case for. Meinerz right now is probably a top five guard.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But he's a guard.
Yeah.
What position is more important? Offensive guard or pass rusher? Because that's what it really does.
Well, it's more important until you have a porous offensive line that can't run the ball or protect the quarterback.
But what position tends to be more valued?
Oh, well, obviously outside linebacker does.
Right.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying it's about position as much as it is player.
I think Jonah Ellis falls into the category of you can never have enough.
Right.
Right. Corner, outside linebacker are generally two positions where you always hear personnel guys and coaches say, you never have enough.
Right. I'm going to get I don't like to bring bias into this.
Okay.
But I'm going to. Which guy was more impressive last season? Which guy would you want back more? Knowing what you know today. Cooper or Browning? Because the analysis was spot on. When Browning came back,
yes,
the defense did get a lot better. But Cooper's stats are really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that they have both of them, but I know the game that we play. So if you're asking one over the other, Browning probably over Cooper.
I like Baron Browning a lot. So. As a person, I really like Jonathan.
I like both of them as people. Cooper has a remarkable story. The whole heart.
I'm saying, again, just talking about people. Yeah. I like Baron Browning a lot. I love me some Jonathan Cooper as a human being. Accessible, nice.
Yep.
all of those things.
Yep.
And I really like Baron Browning. While that's not a way to do your analysis, and I get it.
And that's okay, though. I mean, because there's not much to choose from between the two. So you're left to, if you have to make a choice between the two of them.
Yep.
And I don't think the Broncos do. You're not left with much to choose from, which is a good thing because they're both very capable football players.
They are. Okay, so when you hear the term Jag, just another guy, are they Jags or are they Jag pluses?
They're pluses, and they could be better than that. I do think that, I think you and I were both there the same day that that Vance said it was the best, that room was the best room of outside linebackers he's ever been around.
Yeah, how'd that work out at the beginning of the season?
Well, it wasn't good.
No.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, I take all that stuff.
That's why I hate hyperbole.
Yeah.
Hyperbole so many times comes back to bite you in the backside.
You're pumping the tires of your guys in the room.
Which is a good thing, and I get it, but you don't need to go that far for me. But I will say this. Well, I'll ask you. Benito Cooper, Browning, we don't know enough about Ellis other than he's a big, strong, physical guy.
Yeah.
Who does have good metrics from the University of Utah. How it applies moving forward. Then you go basically Ronnie Perkins and Thomas and Kuhn. Is that a really...
No.
It's not a... I don't think it's a...
You're not game planning for any of them.
It's not a top room.
You're not...
It's a capable room, right?
You are not game planning for any of them.
There's not a game wrecker in that room.
No.
Not a game wrecker.
And for Nick Benito, he to me is Shane Ray. Shane Ray was an excellent pass rusher, could not set the edge, could not stay healthy. For Nick Benito, is not very good at setting the edge. Just run on him.
Yeah.
Just run in his direction. Yeah.
I think that the good thing about Cooper and Browning...
But he's a really good pass rusher.
Very good pass rusher, but it's not great against the run.
No.
I think that Cooper and Browning are much, much, much better against the run, and they can set the edges.
Here's the bottom line. If you're going to sign someone... Sign one of them. Both guys, I would not re-sign both guys.
Yeah.
To me, whichever guy you sign, I'm fine with. I mean, let's put something in perspective here. And I hope I'm wrong. The Broncos are going to have a top 10 pick next year.
Well, I mean, I got them at 6, so I guess I'm probably in the same boat.
So with that.
Yeah. 6 or 7.
Surtain will be back. I think Miners will be back.
Yeah.
We'll see about Bowles.
Don't think Bowles will be back.
Okay. So if you have a top 10 pick, are you going to use it on a stud pass rusher or a left tackle if the grade is even? What are you doing?
It's a great question.
That's why I asked it.
Yeah.
I'm known for great questions, not good for great answers.
Well, Garrett Bowles is interesting. When I was reading about Bakhtiari wanting to come back and play for another couple of years.
He wants to play with a winner.
Absolutely. But and I understand that. And so I didn't go to there's a guy that you could go and get. But when you look at what they're paying him, the Broncos are paying Garrett Bowles.
Right. And he'll probably get more.
And he will. He will because he's still relatively young at that position and he's been a relatively healthy player. He's obviously
very
had
that one year,
obviously, but he's been a relatively healthy player and he is a plus offensive tackle in the NFL, right? Not a top one, but he's a plus. Yeah. He's a plus one. He's a plus. He's pretty good in the ground game. He's much better in pass protection.
By the way, he's 32.
Yeah, he is 32.
I know he is. That's why I said it.
Don't
argue those facts with me.
He's played, what, 7, 6 years?
He's still 32.
Yeah, well,
what do you, what
Vele
do you
is 26, and he's playing his first year in the NFL.
Okay, so the Broncos like to draft players that are old.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is that some guys are a young 26.
Well,
Bo Nix is a young 24.
Okay.
Just because there's no tread off the tire. Garrett Bowles, I mean, he's played a while, but I think Garrett Bowles can be an effective left tackle for what, the next 3 years in the NFL, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you go out of your way to go and enlist a Garrett Bowles, but he is certainly a guy that has done it.
So you're going to re-sign him?
I don't know about that.
Well, you just sold me on bringing him back, and now you're saying, I don't know.
I mean, what are they paying him? 16 mil? Something like that?
I'll let you know.
I mean,
signed a 4-year deal for $68 million this upcoming year. He will be making $20
million. $20
million. Now, when you look at highest paid offensive tackles, we need some thinking music. Let's go to the internet so I sound smart. Highest paid offensive tackles. I'm wondering, does McGlinchey make that much?
He makes more.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
He's making more, I think.
Highest paid offensive tackles. Right now, you have, this doesn't seem right, Penei Sewell's on top of the list at $28
million. Good player.
I don't even see McGlinchey is at $17.5 million. I think that, well, the cap hit for Bowles is 20. I think he's getting paid close to 16.
I thought it was 16. He's getting
16.7. So he's top 20.
Yeah.
He's going to want to go higher than that.
Yeah, you would think, right?
You're going to pay him that?
I don't know. That's a great question. You're going to carry...
I don't know if you are.
You're going to carry $33 million a year on your two tackles?
I'm good on that if they're great.
They are great.
Yeah.
Right?
McGlinchey is a road grader. He's not great in pass protection.
He's
got to
be better.
Yep.
He's got to be better.
I mean, the Broncos currently have two guys in the top 20, currently.
And they're going to have a guy in Quinn Meinerz who's going to be a highly paid guard at some point.
Yep.
Is the Broncos' offensive line a strength for this football team?
You would think it is.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's all brawny and buffed, but I do think it's a strength of this football team.
Right.
And I think that they've gotten better along the defensive fronts, which kind of...
I do, too.
...doubles back from our... outside linebacker. I like the guys in between.
Right.
You and I both like DJ Jones a lot.
I do.
And I think we both like Zach Allen.
Yep.
Pretty good amount.
Yep.
And then when you add John Franklin Myers.
And Roach.
And Malcolm Roach, who, as much as he could be, was very noticeable in the spring. We'll see how he does with pads on. But they've got some guys.
Coming up after the break, the Oklahoma City Thunder made a move yesterday that should worry Nuggets fans. We'll explain why next.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, Here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle at Eric Goodman right now. Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash right now. They're accepting consignments of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call, 303-289-1600, or go to rollerauction.com/sell to make some money. In the meantime, Castle Rock Hormone Health, celebrating its three-year anniversary, new patients, getting a great deal, and I'm a patient there as well this month. You're going to get your regular free consult, but you're also going to get free labs, which can be expensive. And if you need therapy, the first month is just $99. That's a big discount. I go to Castle Rock Hormone Health, and I feel really good thanks to Dr. Lee. His staff is outstanding as well. So if you're ready to optimize your entire health, go to Castle Rock Hormone Health at one of their seven metro locations, or check them out at crhormonehealth.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
Thunder Bulls made a swap yesterday of players. Alex Caruso goes to OKC. Josh Giddey going to Chicago. This is a big deal.
Sure.
I mean, Oklahoma City was already great at forcing turnovers.
They got better.
Already a very, very good defensive team. And, man, they are going to be locked down on that perimeter now. And if you are the Nuggets, we knew Oklahoma City was going to get better by osmosis because they're a young team. And now I believe they have really improved their roster.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And if you're the Nuggets, you've got to be measured in your response, or you don't respond at all. If you're the Nuggets, don't you feel like you're still in position? KCP is obviously job number one. It's priority number one. And everything will flow off of what happens with KCP. So that's the one.
He's going to opt out. That is a given.
Yeah, but
the question is, will the Sixers be chasing him? Will the Spurs be chasing him? Other teams?
No question. And what creatively will the Nuggets prepare in order to entice him to stay? Because I think he's still very much on their wish list. I mean, you don't want to break up the band if you believe you still have five of the best starters in the NBA.
Well, the question is how deep are you going to go into the second apron? They don't want to break up the band. Salaries might dictate that.
It could very well.
And Josh Kroenke and Calvin Booth both said we're willing to go into the second apron despite the ramifications, and they are steep.
They are steep. They are really steep, especially as it relates to draft picks, which is, by the way, the way that Oklahoma City has done all of this.
They've done it twice with draft picks.
Yeah, and it's quite remarkable the way that Oklahoma City has done it.
They've done it with draft picks, and then they did it with one key trade.
Yes.
Picking up SGA.
Right. It was huge. But here we are. This is what we knew was coming in the West. The West has been a beast all season, and you knew that nobody was going to stand pat and people were going to make improvements. Oklahoma City is a better team now than the one they finished the season
with. And they are still flush with draft picks.
Totally.
That's why, again, Sam Presti, my opinion, not yours necessarily, the best GM in basketball. Think about this for a second. Their cap currently is under control. Mm-hmm. Granted, a lot of young guys.
Right.
Their cap is currently under control. It won't be in 2-3 years. And they have a ton of draft picks.
Yeah.
And they have the best team in the Western Conference, meaning they won the West in the regular season. No, they did not go to the NBA final. But as you and I have talked about, generally speaking, in basketball, you have to climb that ladder. There are really no skipping steps.
But if you're the Nuggets, the Nuggets aren't to the place of having to react to others. They have to be the best version of themselves.
Well, that's counting on Strother getting better.
Yeah.
Brown getting better.
Watson getting better.
So there's a lot of hope and ifs there.
And Watson got better this year, but he wasn't there at the end of the year.
I mean, at the end of the day, we could talk about the Nuggets having the best starting five in basketball. Mm-hmm. How do they do when it mattered most? They lost.
Yeah.
They blew a 20-point lead.
They sure did.
Because they couldn't count on their bench.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly
with
right.
With that, after watching Dallas make the NBA Finals as the fifth seed, do you think Malone is going to rest his starters more in the regular season, give the bench more playing time, even if it means sacrificing some wins in the regular season? Because I think that's what Calvin Booth wanted to do, and Michael Malone, understandably, wants to win every game.
Yeah, I get it. I do think that he has to put bench guys in higher leverage situations more often. I don't think it's the only way they're going to get better. And it's the only way that you as a coach are going to gain the confidence needed to use a Peyton Watson, for instance, who has been key for you all season long off the bench, but all of a sudden, and I understand the matchups weren't advantageous, but there was no trust in him in the series against Minnesota. That's taking a pretty big piece off the board, because now you are limited in what you can do, and you're asking more for your frontline guys. And it ended up catching up with them, albeit in the third quarter of a game seven, but it still caught up with them.
I know it's only 1 year, but we can only go by the data that we have in front of us. Let's say the Nuggets got the number one seed. Sake of argument. Against Minnesota, they lost three or four games at home.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So what would that number one seed have done? According to the data, not much. According to the data, not much. I'm going by the data. They lost three of four games at home, including game seven. Period. That's the data. You can argue an opinion. You can't argue the facts. Two years ago, different story.
Yeah, I don't think any of us know what, I mean, you don't, because the dominoes set up differently. If they're the number one seed, they're playing different people. Minnesota's playing different people. If they meet, they meet at a different time in the playoffs.
They lost three or four games at home. You only play with the teams that are on your schedule.
Yeah, understood.
They blew a 20-point lead. Malone did not trust his bench.
Right.
You can fight for the number one seed if you, I mean, how many times did Dallas have the home court advantage when they played? Not a lot.
No.
They're the fifth seed.
That's why you're the fifth seed.
So my point is, there is now empirical proof you can get to the NBA final as the fifth seed. You don't need to have home court advantage. And looking at the Minnesota series, you lose three or four games at home. Apparently, that home court advantage didn't mean that much, especially when, you know, you get blown out in game two on your home floor and then blow a 20-point lead in game seven.
Yeah.
If that isn't evidence enough for Michael Malone, I don't know what is.
Yes. From a standpoint of where you go now, those are very valuable learning blocks.
Calvin Booth.
But who's to say what would have happened if they'd been the number one seed?
I don't know. It just depends on the match. Know. Well, yeah. Listen, they I think they probably would have played Minnesota.
Another round later.
Fine. And you have your starters even more tired. We can't speculate on who they would have played. They lost three or four games at home. Number one seed means nothing if you're losing three or four games at home, period. I don't care who you play.
Well, sure it does. A number one seed does mean something.
They lost to the number three seed.
You can't sit there and say, it's all situational.
Fine.
They did lose three or four at home
period.
To Minnesota.
That
doesn't mean they would have in a situation where it was the Western Finals, for instance. We don't know that.
We don't know.
But we just don't know.
Let's talk about what we do know.
Yeah.
Home court advantage didn't mean that much, period. That's the end of the conversation. Doesn't mean that much. You lost three or four at home, period.
In this year's situation. Yeah, you're right.
That's right.
In this year, that doesn't mean that it equates next year at all. Doesn't mean anything. Why is it that most teams go after home court advantage? Why?
Here's the bottom line. We can sit and have this conversation back and forth all day. The bench wasn't good enough. That's the problem.
Yes.
And adding on top of it, the home court advantage didn't mean much either. Well, so if you want to go number one and number two, I'll go with the bench is the reason why they lost.
Yeah, well, they've got plenty of information and data, as right. you like to use.
Get the bench better. Play them more minutes. Rest your starters a little bit more. You have to trust your bench when it counts the most. And Malone did not.
Or find a piece to add to the bench.
Well, with what?
Well,
where's the money coming from?
Yep.
They are already up against the second apron anyway.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
KCP might walk out the door. And if he does, that frees up some money for you.
It does.
But if it does, you still have holes on your roster to fill in terms of people.
Well, yeah, because more than likely, Christian Brown moves into the starting lineup.
Well, I'm referring to you have to replace DeAndre Jordan. You have to replace possibly Justin Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Jackson's probably going to be coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want Zeke Nagy on this roster? That's $9 million. You can play with. I mean, you have right now you have $24 million to play with if you trade Najee and then KCP walks out the door.
Right.
But, I mean, you'll bring in cheap guys if Jordan doesn't come back. Honestly, if KCP walks, Justin Holiday will be back, I believe.
Hmm.
Cheap contract.
Yeah, it is cheap.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's a shooter. Yeah, I mean, They've got some questions to answer, but they're not Rubik's Cube.
What are the questions to answer? We'll talk about that next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle at Eric Goodman right now. Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignments of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call, 303-289-1600. Go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about selling, making some money. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS. And they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
I'm going to pick out one guy. We keep talking about Christian Brown, right?
Okay, go.
Was he much better in this year's playoffs than last year's playoffs?
Much better?
Was he any better?
No, he was probably about the same, I would
say. Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to consider putting this guy in the starting lineup. I'll give you the numbers, okay? Last year in the playoffs, 13 minutes a game, 3.2 points per game.
Gotcha.
We're talking about scoring here. Because that's what they need. We know defensively he's a pest.
Oh, yeah. That's undeniable.
This year, 17 minutes a game. 5 points.
So he was better.
Not much better. He was about the same. Sorry, 3.2 and 5 points. It's not a big difference maker. He had a couple of games where he scored 11, and we're like, oh, my God, look at Christian Brown. He's got to get better. He's got to get better, better, better.
And he
not
is,
a little bit.
And he's going to get better. And he's going to get better because of Nikola Jokic.
He's not going to get better his jump shooting because of Nikola Jokic.
Well, that's
unless you're saying he's going to hit wide open shots.
He's got that's incumbent on him.
Right.
That's in the gym. That's work. That's repetition. And that's not leaving until you get it figured out.
Which guy would you feel better about if you had to pick one guy to get much better next season? Would it be Peyton Watson or Christian Brown?
One guy to get much better?
Yeah, which guy would you rather get much better?
based on the skills that they bring to the table right now.
Sure.
Peyton Watson.
Yeah.
Because he's 6'8 with a 7-foot wingspan.
Right.
So the measurables indicate that.
Well, he could be your MPJ replacement.
I mean,
but he has got to be able to play much better offensively and make better decisions when he shoots the ball.
But you just asked me that under the premise of which guy would you have want to get tremendously better, that would be the guy. The reasonable expectation for me, and this is obviously, I think that we're having this conversation with KCP being gone. Is that the premise?
Sure. It could be, yeah, sure. Whatever you want.
Or if he's, I mean, even if he's back, then it's more about improving but tweaking. If he's gone, then it's about wholesale changes that have to be made.
Christian Brown played 20 minutes a game in the regular season, mm-hmm. started 4. He averaged 7 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to double that, or at least 13.
Yeah,
at
12
least,
or 13. I'm yes. with you. Yeah, that's about where you would want him to be in a perfect
situation. Does he feel close to you doing that?
No.
Then that's a problem.
He does not.
Then that's because they're putting a lot on him, meaning, and they need to. They know what their starting five currently looks like. We don't know if KCP is going to walk out the door. You got to get a lot more out of him. A lot more out of him. Because right now, Calvin Booth is banking on these young guys getting better. And Christian Brown, I'm sorry, did not take that big of a leap this year at all. And I thought he would. I really did.
He improved. Peyton Watson improved.
Peyton Watson improved.
Yes, he did.
Christian Brown, not by much. A little bit better. A little bit better.
They need... They can live with Christian Brown in his current form, or maybe with being slightly better with KCP back, and with further maturity from youth on the bench right now.
Here's something else. His rookie season, Christian Brown, 15 and a half minutes a game. That's 5 less than last year, 5 points a game. He was 2 points a game better with 5 more minutes. That's not enough. Especially if you're counting on your young guys. Not enough. Not enough.
What did he average last year? 5 points something or other in regular season?
7.
7.
Yep.
7.
Yep. I'll look up one more thing, then I know we need to hit a break.
I don't think it's unreasonable to expect him to get a couple more buckets a game. I don't think it is. Especially when you've got some metrics in the two-man game with Nikola Jokic that are pretty encouraging. Pretty encouraging. So, how you cannot lose sight of the fact that the Nuggets are still pretty close.
Here's another metric for you.
Go, man.
His rookie season, he shot 50% from the floor. Last season, regular season,
mm-hmm.
last 50% from the floor in his rookie season.
Okay.
This season, 46%. He went the wrong direction. Now, 3-point shooting.
Yeah, but that's not much. 46%.
He didn't get better, is my point. He didn't get better.
Okay.
You can make the case he got worse, but I'm not going to make that case. He didn't really get that much better.
I need to know where he's taking his shot from.
As far as, well, he drives the hole a lot. Point is, with 3-point shooting, he did get better. Rookie season, he was 35%. This past season, 38%. A little bit better. The point is, he didn't get that much better. Or he flatlined. He has to get better, especially if you're considering putting him in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed?
Connor McDavid is writing his name in the record books in the Stanley Cup Finals, and the MLB played their game in the oldest ballpark in America last night. We'll discuss that on the other side with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk. Here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. Right now, they're accepting consignments of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call right now and make some money, man. 303-289-1600 or go to RollerAuction.com/sell. In the meantime, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. If you're a family person, you spend your life protecting your family. What happens if, God forbid, something happens tomorrow and you haven't taken care of your family with a estate plan, a trust, a will? Maybe you've done nothing. My suggestion, go to my guy, Dan McKenzie, the McKenzie Law Firm. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
There's a great phrase, which is a little knowledge is dangerous. When you meet with clients for the first time, how often do you realize that that phrase is really true? And I will include myself in that.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is a thing for what I do. I mean, we just generally have, difficulty with people just are not aware of, like, what the issues are and what they can do. And, we get a lot of people who express a lot of concern about estate tax, for example. Well, right now you can give away more than $13 million before even estate tax problems. So that's usually not one of the bigger issues that people face. But there's other things that they're not thinking about at all. So, it's interesting.
What are the biggest things that people are not aware of?
The first thing is just that a lot of estate planning, when people think about that, they're thinking about death. And, of course, that is something you need to plan for. But incapacity events, just anytime you're not able to do stuff for yourself, they come up for most people at various times in your life. You can be 25 and conk your head and need some help for a little while. You can be, 85 and, having some dementia problems. You can get in an accident. You can be out of town. There's just all kinds of things that come up. And it's very likely, and people are just not focused on that at all. And sometimes that's a harder situation to deal with, actually, than when people pass away.
So let's talk about the difference between money and medical, because a lot of people, when they think about wills and trusts, it usually revolves around money. Who gets what? Who doesn't get what? Yada, yada, yada. But there's another component, which is medical. And whether you have a family or not, that's going to affect you, right? And what kind of things can people do?
Absolutely. I mean, that is right along the lines of what I was just talking about. People are thinking, well, I don't really need to do an estate plan because I don't have that much money and it's just going to be divided equally between my kids if I pass away. But it's like the stuff I was just describing involve a medical component. And, if you've heard of HIPAA, it's the privacy laws that lock down our medical records, which probably is a good idea, but they can really be a barrier to anyone doing anything, including even your spouse. Like, I can't get my wife's medical records without her written authorization. I can't talk to her doctor or, make decisions for her unless she said I can do that in writing. So we've run into several situations where I needed to get that authorization from her. Unfortunately, she was always able to provide it, but and vice versa. So, that can be something real small. If you've heard of a probate case, it probably is one of the more famous end of life cases where families are fighting over who, how much medical treatment to provide after a situation has become what some people think is hopeless. Other people think, we hear about miracles, let's wait this out. And that can be a real difficult negotiation to have.
We don't have a lot of time left on this segment. Gordon, I'm going to put you on the spot. Dan, you talked to Gordon when he called you. Gordon, you're 22 years old, right?
Yes, 22.
Okay, God forbid something happens. You're in a vegetative state. Do you want that plug pulled?
No.
You don't. You want to live in a vegetative state no matter what?
I mean,
Do you?
Not really.
Okay, good. Right now, they will leave you on it unless you take care of this.
Yeah, the medical profession is oriented towards providing care. And a lot of people don't really want care in every situation, right? And, I mean, the bigger issue is just who's going to make that decision. I mean, Gordon, he doesn't need to make that decision sitting here now, but at least, like, who's going to make that decision? Who's going to talk to the doctors and find out what is the prognosis here? Like, is this, you know, how sure are you? And, again, once you're 22, they're not talking to your parents. They're not talking to your siblings. We don't know if you get along with those people. So they might have to go to court and get an order saying they can do that if you haven't written it down. So
you know what Gordon's doing? He's looking at me like, I'm 22. I'm healthy. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right,
and why are you putting me in the crosshairs like that?
Right. Because that's what I do.
Yes, you do.
That's what I listen. When you have a smart Michigan grad and a not so smart Indiana grad, that's the type of conversation we have. Dan, how do people find you?
833-CO-PLANS. They can call that phone number. We're in Colorado, of course, so we have that number to make it easy to remember. And then coplans.co is the website.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks.
See you, pal. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. The final word. Just in case you missed it.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight back in Edmonton after the Oilers held on to a close 4-3 win on Tuesday night. And McDavid, he's writing his name right next to Wayne Gretzky. McDavid's only 5 points away now from catching up to Gretzky's 47 points in a single playoff run. What do you think is going to happen in tonight's game, and do you think Florida is starting to get a little bit nervous out there?
Of course, Gretzky had 4. McDavid is still chasing 1, but that's neither here nor there. This is going to 7 games, man, and I'm all for it.
Wow, you're
I'm calling my shot.
You're going Mark Messier. This
Come
is
on,
going 7.
Go.
We're
yes.
going to win.
Yes.
You guarantee it.
I don't know if I'm guaranteeing it, but I'm for the Game 7 drama when it looked like, for all the world, this thing was going to be done pretty quickly. It's got to save the postseason. The postseason for winter sports, in a word, has sucked. Right? Sucked. Have you looked at the television ratings for the NBA Finals with Boston and Dallas, two of the biggest television markets in the country, in it? Give me something or other to look forward to. I'm all for a Game 7. Let's go.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Nigel and Gordon, I hope you get home okay. I hope you don't wind up in the hospital, vegetative state. I mean,
well, what a nice thing to say at the end of a show on a Friday.
Dude, I'll come visit you and trip over that plug, because right now
How's
you're not
Tobias
protected.
How's Tobias Harris for you?
Wow. That was such a long time ago. I forgot about
But I came back for them.
That was a Nigel thing. That wasn't a Gordon thing. Guys, great job. Same with you, Bruce.
Have
Make it the best
one,
possible
everybody.
Weekend you can.
And whatever happened, the Tuesday and so slow.